Immediately, a savage strain was placed upon my arms as the chains retracted violently into recesses in the walls on either side of me. I grunted in pain, but my eyes snapped forwards when I heard the cry of terror from the other cell. The prisoners were looking up. Some of the men had got to their feet as the ceiling came down at them. Too heavy for them to bear, the brave men who had stood up were quickly crushed to their knees. A child screamed. A child. In here. Above the ceiling line, hidden from the eyes of the other prisoners, but clear to me through the dirty glacéic, was an immense weight. And as the chains pulled at my arms, I realized to what they were both attached. Despite the agony it caused, I heaved and pulled the chains back in. In the other cell, the ceiling stopped falling.
"As I said,"
uttered Ferris,
"their fate lies in your hands. Quite literally, brother."
I held on, the muscles in my neck, back, shoulders and arms screaming at me to let go. My teeth were locked together in a grimace of defiance. Sweat drenched my body and trickled through the channels of my bunched muscles. I screamed, and the people who neither saw nor heard me screamed as well. My grip was slipping. The ceiling and the weight bearing down to crush the others was slipping too. More of the prisoners got to their feet and tried to push back. Their efforts were utterly futile. No strength they possessed would prevail. Through the red rime clouding my vision as capillaries burst in my now bloodshot eyes, I saw those too weak or injured to stand wailing at their fate. Others trembled or clung to each other in the desperate need not to die alone. One sat by himself. He was calm, accepting of his inevitable death. Though it was hard to tell, I thought I recognized him. I could not be certain, but he resembled the Remembrancer, Veras, and it appeared as if he were looking at me. The terrible strain came on anew as the machine exerted even greater pressure. Legs braced, arms locked, I closed my eyes and held on. I stayed like that for hours, or so it seemed. My world a prison of constant pain and the plaintive mewling of the men and women I knew I could not save. When, finally, it came, the silence was both sweet and bitter. I was screaming, spitting defiance, half delirious from what I'd been forced to endure. "I will not yield!" I roared. "I will never yield to you, curs. Show yourself. Stop hiding behind your victims."
"Surrender, Vulcan,"
Ferris answered.
"Let go. You can achieve nothing here. There is no victory to be had. Let go."
"Not while there is still strength." I stopped, realizing that I was the only one screaming. The prisoners in the other cell, their voices were silent. Opening my eyes, I saw what had ended their pleas. Through the glacéic, a solid slab of dark iron had filled the cell completely. I sagged against my bonds, arms upright, my legs buckling beneath me as the last of my strength ebbed from my body. "Where are they?" I asked the apparition beside me, despite the fact I knew he was only a figment of my imagination.
"Look,"
said Ferris, a rictus grin enhancing his ghastly features. With each visitation he was becoming more emaciated, more skeletal, as if decaying in my mind's eye. Gears churning again, the iron slab slowly rose. It had but to creep a few centimetres before I saw the visceral red that adhered to its underside. Strands of it clung to the deadly weight, stretching and splitting as gravity exerted itself. Fragments of bone and biological matter came unstuck with the resonance fed through the slab by the machine lifting it. They splashed into a lagoon of guts and blood covering the cell floor. As the chains slackened, my arms fell too, and I, with them, onto the ground, my face landing hard in the dirt. Ferris chuckled, his voice a little reminiscent of Kerr's, before he sank back into the shadows and left me to my failure and guilt.